Blog Talk Radio.
Coach D, I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Woo! I am excited. I am excited. I am excited. We are going to have an open discussion. I'm going to take a couple of minutes. And for those who are listening in, I would suggest that you share. What does that mean, Coach D? Send a flyer to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers. Share. Tonight's subject matter is important to us as believers, and it's even more important to those who aren't believers who are struggling with is God real. And so we're going to be getting into a subject matter. I have a special guest host in the studio on tonight that I'm going to be introducing shortly, but I just wanted to kind of open up and just share with you guys. Take this moment and share tonight's show. Your family, your friends are going to want to tune in. This is going to be, there's no fanfare here. There's no, we're not trying to be celebrities. We're not trying to be center stage. We're not trying to be theologians. We are just going to talk some down-to-earth, layman terms for people to understand. We hear this thing called grace. We hear it often, and we're trying to understand it. And we think that, but we believe, not think, we believe tonight that the Spirit of God is going to go before us, and we're going to really begin to understand this thing called grace, because I believe that grace could be kind of confusing. You know, we know that the Word of God tells us that God's grace is sufficient. It tells us that everything is done, even our salvation is by faith. Is by grace through faith. And we keep hearing grace, grace, grace. And you hear some people say, no, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. And so what we want to kind of come to a conclusion on tonight is we know God's grace is sufficient, but are we efficient for God's grace? Amen. So we are going to go ahead and now what we're going to do is Leia, I believe you're in the studio, and there's a lot of background for your phone. So I'm not sure if you're close to maybe someone else that may be tuning in, or but it's a lot of feedback. So if you're in the studio, can you just come in and let me hear your voice so we can make sure that before we get started on the show that we are operating in the spirit of excellence as far as our sound?
Is that better?
Much better, much better, much better.
Yay.
So,
okay.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to get into the show on tonight. Again, this format is going to be a little different than what we are used to. We're normally used to one person speaking or kind of interview style, but tonight we want to do a discussion style. We want to open up and we want to have a discussion. And before I do this, I'm going to do something a little different, Leah, if you don't mind. I want to play one more song. We don't have the copyrights to, but I want to play one more song before we get into this thing about grace. I think this is going to be an important subject matter on tonight. And I want to play No Gray by Jonathan McReynolds, one of my favorites. And I just want to play it. And then soon, if you guys are hanging there, that song is about 4 minutes, okay? But hang in there, because right after that song, we're going to go right into the subject on tonight, and we're going to start hitting some heavy areas. So let's just play this song. We want everybody to listen to the words of the song, Be Still. This is the moment to be still, hear the words of the song, and immediately after this song, we will go into the message. Amen.
You listen to all the words, because I feel like at some point in everybody's life, you feel like this. Lord, I'm split in two. Part of me loves the world and the other loves you. So what do I do? I want to be saved, but I gotta stay cool too. And no, I'm not a fool. I know eventually I'm gonna have to choose. And really, I don't want to lose my ticket into heaven and a chance to be used by you. And if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around, because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. 'Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. It'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. See, I've realized when it comes to sin, you just don't compromise. See, it's a matter of death and life. Be weak and do wrong, or be strong and do right. I don't want to keep going to church, singing all about how much you're worth, and then continue doing my dirt, living as if I didn't care if you're hurt. 'Cause if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. It'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. Before something happens, I gotta turn it all around because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Yeah, it's really easy to stay on the fence to you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it don't work like that. You gotta be white or black. No, it don't work like that. You gotta be white or black. Yeah, no gray, no shades of gray. No, 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 no. It don't work like that. No gray, no, no.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We are back. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Before we get started, I want to read a scripture. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures on tonight, so get your pen and paper. We're going to be bouncing around. But I want to read this scripture, and I don't know that I would call it the foundation. The reason I'm reading this scripture, because as we get into this, this is a very sensitive, I think it's a sensitive subject. But I want to read this scripture so that when we get into this other part of it, I want to give you everything you need to make a godly decision about the discussion on tonight. And I'm going to go to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to go to chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to lay that as our base work. We're going to be going through a lot of scriptures on tonight, but I want to lay this as our base work. And it doesn't make sense now what I'm going to read. But as we get further in this show and we begin to discuss things, this will come back to play. I'm going to read from the NIV, 2 Timothy verses 3, 1 through 5. Not my opinion, not my thoughts. This is coming from the Word of God. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. That came from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Leia, are you in the studio with me on tonight?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sister. How are you?
Good evening. I am blessed. I am so excited about tonight's show.
Yes.
We're not going to even share with people how this came about because, you know what, we want them to get the value out of it. But I am so, so super excited to have you in the studio with me on tonight, co-hosting. And I'm praying that the Lord would just intervene, that his presence would be ever present, that anointing, that great yokes will be here in the studio on tonight, that he will just give revelation knowledge, that he would give us a rhema word because so many people are struggling in this time, including me.
Yes.
There is a sense of heaviness, I believe, on the earth right now, and there's a lot of us believers. I call the church. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about a particular building. I'm not talking about a particular name. I'm talking about us, the body of Christ. We, you know, we're falling. A lot of us are falling, and I believe tonight's message is going to be an encouragement, but I believe it's also going to be a wake-up call, because God spoke of this prophetically, that in the last days, many people, even the elite, would be deceived. Many people were going to fall away. And I believe that we're starting to see that transpire. People's hearts are hardening, and people are using this thing, this grace thing. Let's talk about this grace thing on tonight. What can you say about this grace thing on tonight? Because people are thinking, hey, I can do what I want to do. God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I believe that people use this, the word grace, as a crutch, you know. So, you know, God's grace is sufficient, so they just figure, you know what, but even though the word says God's grace is sufficient, he doesn't say how much of an abundance of that sufficiency he's given us. Amen. So,
amen.
And again, I think that the word grace, a beautiful word, is being taken advantage of. It's, you know, God's grace being taken advantage of, like a good parent. You know, when we love our children and we, you know, give them $10 here, and then they come back 2 hours later and want $20 more. So, you know, our grace. You know, let me tell you, my grace is sufficient. You know, my grace, so I have to close my wallet. So they don't know when. They don't know when the money's going to run out. They don't know when I'm no longer going to do for them. So as God is our Father, I think that we ought to be better examples of grace to the body of Christ.
Ooh, amen, amen. With that being said, I want to just do something really quickly here, because when you said that, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. But one of the things that you and I were talking earlier today as we were preparing for tonight, and that's a perfect thing, God's grace is sufficient, yet, because I don't want to say but, because I don't want to eliminate nothing about God's grace. God's grace is sufficient, whether we are believers or not believers. The devil knows God's grace is sufficient. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
God,
yes.
We really, God's grace that's sufficient. And I want us to get that on tonight. It's God's grace. It says God's grace is sufficient. So the question now becomes, is we don't have to question if God's grace is sufficient. Now what we have to question is, are we efficient? And when I went in and did a word efficient means preventing the wasteful use of particular resources. Preventing the wasteful use of particular resources.
Amen.
So are we efficient? Because we can walk around and say, oh, God, we're under grace, we're not under law, and da-da-da-da, but are we efficient? Because so that God's grace is sufficient. And just so people know, because we know we don't want people, assume people know. Let's just even figure out here. Hold on. Bear with me right now. I don't want to tell you what Coach D thinks or what Minister Leah thinks. But another thing for efficient was, I just want to get, efficient means capable of producing desired results without wasting material, time, or energy.
That's good.
Exactly. So I want people to get that. See, let's not get super duper religious. The reality of this is that God's grace is sufficient, but are we efficient? Are we taking advantage of God's grace? Meaning, are we being efficient? Are we producing the desirable results? And that we're not wasting the time and energy. Are we out there just sinning? You know, are we out there just burying our talents? Are we out there as the new generation say, willy nilly? Are we out there just doing us? Because if we out there just doing that us, we're not being efficient. We're not producing desirable results. Because keep in mind, sin separates us from God. The Word of God, we can go through scripture after scripture that tells us that God is holy, and sin will separate us from God. Guess what? We could be separated from God, and we could be separated from God thinking we're serving God. And guess what? And God's grace is still sufficient. But guess what? We're not efficient.
And can I interject, sister?
Yes.
So that is good, because you're saying if we're not efficient. Now, what was the meaning of, what was your meaning of efficient again?
Okay, the in-depth meaning of efficient is capable of producing desired results without wasting resources, time, or energy.
Okay, so here's the thing. If God's grace is sufficient, but yet we are not efficient, then that leaves us deficient. Deficient meaning lacking in some necessary or quality element. Amen? So,
amen. Yes.
So go
That's
ahead.
Good.
Go ahead.
No, go that ahead. Is good. And we know The thing about it is that that was good, sister. Because we know we're deficient. We know that we have, you know, Paul knew he was deficient. You know, he knew he had a thorn in the side. He knew that he was dealing with some stuff. He knew that he kept doing things that he didn't want to do, but he was doing them and he didn't want to do. But at the end of all this struggle that Paul talked about, of being insufficient, he said, who will deliver me? How do I get out of this? And his answer was what? Christ. His answer was Christ. So when we talk about God's grace, and we talk about God's grace being sufficient, and we understand that, but how do we not, like you said, using grace, a lot of people use grace as a crutch. We hear people often comment, oh, we're not under law, we're under grace, we're not under law, you know, we got liberty. But when does that grace that's sufficient from a efficient God, when does that play into us where we don't want to do things that we know that we're doing that could be contrary to who he's called us to be? Because if he's calling us to be something, then he is. He's created us for greatness. He's created us from the foundation of the earth. He's prepared us. But when we're not operating in all that he's created us to be, but yet we want to use the term, well, I'm failing, I'm inefficient, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and then we want to say, well, God's grace. But where do we play a part? Because somewhere in this thing, you know, in any relationship, when you think about our relationship with people, our parents, our children, our job, in intimate relationships with our spouses, our relationships, it's a give and take. So at what point do we just take and don't expect that we have to give?
Is
God's grace for everyone? That's the question. You know, is it for everyone? Is just because you're a believer, is God's grace for you? And Romans 6:4 touches bases on that. It says that God's grace is available to all whose hearts are broken and whose spirits are contrite. It says it's available to all whose hearts are broken and their spirits are contrite, meaning that we have to come with a humble heart, and there's a heart of repentance. There's a heart of repentance that we come before God. And repentance don't mean doing a 360, because 360 will take you from a bad place and turn you all the way around back to the bad place. Because you always hear people say, well, I'm doing a 360. Well, I don't want to do a 360, because a 360 is just going to take me in a full circle back to where I began. So if where I began was raggedy, it's going to take me right back to that raggedy place. So we don't want to do a 360. So we want to do what, a 180. Now, 180 is a bow face turn away from those things, or those areas of life that that causes us to have constraints with our vertical alignment. And vertical alignment is us and God. And there's no way in our vertical alignment between us and God that it will operate. I don't care how sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. But God does not. He doesn't operate in sin. So if I'm in sin and I'm out of order, yes, God is never going to. I guess what I'm trying to get people to understand is that God is God. His grace is sufficient. He is who he said he is. He's not a man that he will lie. God is omnipotent. He's ever present. He's all in all. He doesn't change, but we do. And we could be out of order. We could be out of alignment. We could be out of his will. We could be in sin. And God said to us, he made it very clear, even in the garden, that sin separates us from God. Now, Jesus was the bridge. That's what he said. Jesus became the bridge bring us back into connection with God, right? So if Jesus became the bridge to bring us back into connection with God, but we know that sin separated us, can we still remain in sin and use Jesus as the bridge to get back to God? I don't know. What do you think, Minister Leah?
Let me tell you, that brings me to Romans 6:14, and it says, and I'm using the King James Version because that's my favorite, but it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for we are not under the law, but under grace. So, yes, I believe that with once we're broken, that bridge will take us back over to what God has for us. And grace, again, you see, we have to remember, grace is sufficient. And I believe that once we're repentant and we're broken, that bridge is always going to be extended.
So is it only extended when we're, you know, when we are repentant, like you said, broken, contrite heart, or can we just, you know, because I really, this is no judgment on this call tonight. If you're tuning in and you feel like you have a comment, or maybe you're bringing some knowledge to this conversation, we're going to ask you to dial one on your dial pad. Come on in, join us, because we're just, right now, we're not saying we're theologians. We're not saying we know it all. We're just having a mere, some of the people in the world call it red table discussion. Some people call it
some
the
of
view.
Us call the view. We call it the truth.
We call it the truth. You know, what is it? What? Because there's a lot of people that say they're living life. They're living their best life. And they're saying, hey, I'm not under law. I'm governed. I'm under grace. And at what point do sin, and what, at what point does sin ever make grace efficient or sufficient? I mean, I don't know. What, that's what we need to know. You know, when we ask is God's grace for everyone, like you said, Romans 6:4 comes into play. And the Bible says, you know, what does sufficiency mean in the Bible? And it goes into sufficient means to meet one's needs. So we know that God, so God's grace is sufficient means that God, let's take away the word sufficient, that God's grace meets one's needs. God's grace meets one's needs.
Lisa, we have to remember what grace means. I mean, how many times have we gone to church? You know, people in church have heard this word grace for years, and a lot of us don't even know what the grace really means because, again, unfortunately, it's just a feel-good word. But grace means, in simplest terms, God's unmerited favor.
Yeah.
Favor that we – unmerited means we don't even deserve it.
Yeah. Amen. And that is the truth. But you know what I found interesting is that God will reward us for giving to – somebody has spelled out, and this is not mine, so I'm not going to pretend like I made this up, but as we were studying about grace, I found someone had used, and we could come up with a bunch of different acronyms for grace, but they came up and they said grace. G is for generosity, and that's the will to do something more for us. R is respect, the dignity of life and work. A is action, the mechanism for change. Action is the mechanism for change. I want to change. I don't want to remain the same. C is compassion and the concern for others. There we go again, something for other people outside of ourselves. And E is energy, the spirit that catalyzes us. And I thought that was neat because when we think about, remember God said, I give a new command, and his new command is A, love the Lord your God with all of your every being, your breath, everything. And then the second was love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so we often want to take advantage of God's grace sufficient, and yet we don't extend that grace to others. What do you mean, Coach B? How many of us is mad at family? Oh, Jesus. How many of us are disconnected or mad with family members because of, you know, something they said or did? I don't care how great or small it was. But how many of us, there's certain people that when we hear their name, we get irritated. We get frustrated. We don't want to hear their name. We want to, you know, it's just like, ugh, how do we deal with that? You know, we got, you know, work, friendship. How many of us are extending the same grace that we are expecting God, you know, that we expect from God's grace? Amen.
Amen.
You know, so we're not extending the same grace. Again, we're telling you, if you're listening in on tonight, and maybe you have a thought about this, we're not saying what we're saying is golden. We're not saying that we're saying, we said this is not the view, it's the truth. But we don't, everybody got different truths. You know, everybody has a different truth. You know, I could say me and Leia on this call, we're 11, 12, 1,300 miles away from each other, and I could say I'm hot. That's my truth. And she could say, well, I'm freezing. That's her truth. And many times we get into argument about what is the truth. And the reality of the truth is everybody's truth could be different. And it could really be the truth. Because if I say I'm hot and I'm sweating, I'm over here sweating and, whew, you know, fanning, that's my truth. You know, if I look at my meter and it says 100 degrees in the house, and then let's say Leia look at her meter and it says it's 63 in the house, it's still very different. And we go around in this world arguing about what is the truth.
And the only truth that matters really is God's truth.
Is God's truth. It's God's truth. Because there are so many different things that could be true to each individual. And so when we argue with people about what their truth is, it's irrelevant because that is their truth. When people say, well, I don't believe in your, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, and we get angry or we get mad at them or we don't want to talk to them, you know, we don't want, you know, our love, that the love that we're supposed to be exemplifying through Christ, we don't show. Because guess what? Your truth don't look like mine. Your truth don't, oh my God, we got into a whole different subject, because your truth don't look like mine. And is that who we're supposed to be? Is that who, if we're talking about we want to be examples of Jesus here on the earth, because a lot of times the only Jesus people will see is through us, then how do we do that? How do we extend the same grace? How do we extend the same love if we're spending most of our time debating about what's the truth? You know, what somebody, this is my truth, what somebody else's truth. And like you said, the only truth is God's truth. And that's truth unto understanding. Because we could read, I could read the Word of God, Leah, you could read the Word of God, somebody else could read the Word of God, and we all three could get different revelations.
Yes.
So if God got on you, that's just, and I know this is not the case with you, I'm using you as an example, glory to God. So God told you, you know what, Leah, you better not never take another drink again. I don't want you to drink no wine, don't take no drink. I don't want you to do nothing, because God already knows what you could deal with. He already knows. I'm just saying, this is not Leah, you guys. I'm using her as an example. he already knows that when you get drunk, you know, you get sick. I mean, when you drink, you get drunk, you get sick, you get wild, you do things, and now you're in turmoil. The next day, you're in guilt, you're in shame, and he knows that's the way you function. So he said, you know what? No drink for you. Okay, that's your truth. But then he might say to Bob, you know, Bob can have a couple of glasses of wine or whatever, because Bob doesn't have the same challenge that you have. Now, somebody on the outside looking at you and looking at Bob, they're going to say, well, God, she doesn't drink. That's the word. She's a Christian. She's a mature Christian because she don't drink. But then they could look at Bob, who Bob is a knows the word. He has a personal relationship with God. He's anointed. He's on fire. But because he had a drink, people automatically say, no, he's missing the mark. And these are people's truths. But the reality of it is, and I often say, is that you know because you have multiple kids. You have four kids. Your rules are your rules. You know, you got some base rules that don't change. All your kids have to follow the same rule. For example, they can't, you know, they can't cuss in front of me. They can't bring the opposite sex over and spend the night. They can't do X, Y, Z. Those are your rules for everybody. They don't change.
Yes.
But when one of your kids break the rules, your discipline, your reaction, how you handle it may be different from child to child. And that is because you know your children. You know with this one, you got to do a harsh something because this one might be a little bit more stubborn, hard-headed, and you know you got to put down the iron fence on this one. On this one over here,
she's talking about Matthew. Just kidding.
And on this one here, she just might have to have it. You know, my mom used to say, "Mom, I didn't get a lot of spanking, and I'm just going to be transparent. We're going to have some transparent moments right now. I didn't get a lot of spanking. I didn't get a lot of spanking because I was a very sensitive child. And even if I learned to use that sensitivity as a manipulation, I didn't know what manipulation meant back then. As an adult, maybe I did. But I was a very sensitive child, so I didn't get a lot of whoopings because all my parents had to do was raise their voice to me. And I would get all emotional. I would be so broken down. I would cry. I would be so repentant. Oh, my God, you know, I would do that. So they didn't have to whip me. Where my brother, on the other hand, he was emotionalist. His emotions were different. They could fuss, everything else. He wasn't going to cry. He was stubborn. He wasn't going to do nothing. So it took a little couple of taps on the back, you know, on the back end to get him to understand. But the rules never changed. The rule was don't eat that German chocolate cake. Don't touch it, right? That was the rule for both of us. But when that rule was broken, one person could just get fussed at where the other one had to get a whooping. Amen?
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
So God is our Heavenly Father, and He does work the same way. He deals with, His rules don't change. Sin is sin. I don't care how much He loves us. I don't care how sufficient His grace is. None of that. Sin is sin. And He deals with, and sin is his law, is sin separates us from Him, right? So now how does He deal with you when you're in sin is the question, because how He deal with you may not be how He deal with me as it pertains to the sin, but sin is sin, and the consequences of sin is still going to be the same. It doesn't change. The consequences of sin, what He says, death, and that means death, your spiritual death. You disconnect from your source. God is our source because we came out of God. So, you know, redemption is something that was once in place, now taken out of place and put back in place. So if that is redemption and we were once in place, taken out of place, and then when we come back into the knowledge of accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're now put back in place. So it wasn't something that we never did in. All
mm-hmm.
of us have been placed at one point, but then when we were born into sin, we were taken out of place. But everybody has the opportunity to get what back in place.
Amen.
That's what it is. Redemption. We are by God's grace. He said we are saved. Let's get into a little bit of this word. He says that we are saved by grace. So he said in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, he said, for it is by grace you have been saved. It is by God's grace, a merit of favor. We don't deserve it. Even while we were sinners, we were out there still doing our thing. He put in a plan B. He sent his son, his only begotten
yeah.
son, because he said, you know, they out there in sin. They may even reject him, but I'm going to send my son. And for those who will receive him, to them, my grace is sufficient. And so he sends his son. He said, my grace is sufficient, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by work, so that no one could boast. So it's nothing that I can say how good I am, what I did, how many tithes I paid, how many times I did communion, none of that. I am filthy rags. And when God looks at us, he don't see us, because if he seen us, he would be disgusted. When he looks at us, he sees the blood. He sees what Jesus does. And it's so funny, Joel Osteen, I'm nothing against Joel Osteen, he's my brother in Christ, but I'm not a big fan of Joel Osteen, but I was a big fan of Joel Osteen's daddy, John Osteen. He wrote a book called, I think it was called The Blood. And I read it, but it spoke about that God really don't see us, that he sees what Jesus did for us. So when he looks at us, all he sees is the blood.
Yeah.
And we are covered under the blood. And that's right there, that's, now, that's some grace sufficient because he sees that. But we have to also know that when we think about the price that was paid for us to cover us in our mess, when we talk about God, I'm not under the law, but I'm under God's grace. See, there should be something about grace to make us want to do right. I remember a song in secular, everybody, so don't judge me. I watched a movie called Boomerang. It had a lot of high-end actors and actresses. It was with Eddie Murphy and Halle Berry, and I mean, it was just a load. It was a load of top-line entertainers in this movie called Boomerang. And
Eartha Kitt,
I mean, everybody. And then Boomerang, Eddie Murphy took a liking to, or the kid took a liking to Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy took a liking to Halle Berry, who his friend was in love with. But he took a liking to her, and he started courting her, and she liked him because he was charismatic and, you know, everything, good dresser, where his friend was kind of homey and geeky. And so she took a liking to him. I know I'm talking about a secular movie, but there's, you know, it's spiritual first and natural second. And if you could find the God in everything. So she took a liking to Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy, you know, he started whining and dining on her, playing on her emotions. And then one night, they were going 90 miles an hour down the freeway, meaning they were full-fledged relationship. And then one night, he didn't come home. But he didn't sleep with the girl that he didn't come home with, but he almost slept with her. And when he got home, Halle Berry was very upset. And there was a soundtrack to that movie. It was a song that says, "Love should have brought you home." And the point I'm making, if I don't make any other points on tonight, is our love for God and all that God has done for us should bring us home. What do you mean, Coach D? It should be the catalyst that causes us, not to say we'll ever be sin-free, not to say that we will ever be perfect, not to say that we won't, because sin means miss the mark, not to say that we won't miss the mark. But there should be something about our love for God that causes us to want to do right. This ain't Al Green, something makes you want to do right, makes you do wrong. No. This is our love for God. We should be on a leash, and it should be a limited leash. He knows that we're in the flesh. He knows that we have our daily struggles are. He knows that we're in constant warfare. We are in constant warfare in our bodies. Why? Because these bodies are not but sin, and sin don't know anything about the things of God, and the spirit don't know anything about the things of the flesh. So we are in constant warfare trying to stay in a balance. He knows that. And that's where the sufficiency come in. Is that I know it's a struggle. I know there's going to be times you slip. I know there's going to be times you fall. That's the sufficiency. But there should be something inside of us that the grateful, we should be so grateful to what God does for us that it doesn't say we won't ever sin, but it should say that I'm trying, God, with all that's within me to serve you. And it's not by works. This is not by works. This is about integrity. It's not about how many tracks I could make or how many doors I could knock on or how many people I could get saved. It's not about works. But there should be some integrity inside of me, some loyalty to say, God, I'm thankful. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die for my sins. Thank you for extending your grace and mercy upon me. Thank you for not, you know, thank you. And when we say thank you like that, let's take God out of the equation. Let's not even make it religious. Let's talk about real life. When it's real life and you got people that have done some amazing things in your life and you're a good person in integrity, in accountability, in characteristics, your personality, and people have done some amazing things from you, it's just talking about grateful, being grateful. You know, being thankful. Thank you. Thank you. You say, you know, in the natural, somebody saved your life. you feel indebted.
Yeah.
Somebody just said, you feel indebted. I'm like, oh, my God. You see it all the time. I'm indebted to you because you saved my life. Jesus saved my life, and I should feel a sense of indebted. Like, Lord, what can I do? Because you saved my life. So that takes me from using the crutch of grace to saying I'm grateful. And, Lord, I recognize your grace, and I want to take advantage of your grace. Not advantage of your grace, and I'm going to keep sinning. But, Lord, I'm going to take advantage of your grace because you've been good to me, because you saved my life. So because you saved my life, I'm going to be forever grateful. And grateful people don't go out. When a person's grateful, they don't do ungrateful stuff. Ooh.
Yes.
When a person's grateful, they don't do ungrateful stuff. And that's what it is. We won't know until Jesus comes. Everything we're reading his word, that's our truth as believers. We know what we think we know based on our own understanding. We pray and ask God for understanding. We ask God for rhema word. We ask him for revelation knowledge because we want to understand his word by his spirit. But at the end of the day, we really won't know until our King comes. So we'll know if we truly got understanding. We'll know if we did get understanding. And if we're not careful, we might hear the word that says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What?
Yes.
Because I didn't know. And that's what I'm not trying to hear.
But, Coach D, there's people out there wondering, well, how do I get to that point? How do I really know how much God loves me? How do I know how much of this favor, this unmerited favor that God wants to shower on me? Well, the answer is relationship. Just like Coach D was saying, in the real world, you have to have a relationship with somebody to really know who they are, to know the, to know their core, the inner being of a person. And that is how we get to, that's really how you get to that part of grace where sin is off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that we don't all fall short of the glory, but that relationship keeps us on a path of straight and narrow. That relationship keeps us focused. That relationship keeps us wanting to serve him. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have a caller that had their hand up, so we're going to bring this caller in. Area code 510, live 42688. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Hello. How you guys doing tonight, sis? Your brother, too. Amen. Amen. I had placed my hand up a while back, but I kind of got caught up in the word, and my point kind of went out the window, man. You guys said it all. It's been some really good things that have been brought up. I think one of the things that kind of landed on me, though, was early on when you were – and before I get into that, Coach D, I just want to tell you that love would have brought you home peace. That's real. That's deep. You know, it goes back to, like you said, it's not a work, right? It's not an obligation. Right, it's the crutches removed, but it's just my due diligence. You know what I mean? So again, I like that piece right there. That was real deep. The piece though that landed on me that I wanted to speak on real briefly because I know we're short on time is the contrite heart. We were talking about why would we play God, so to say, with this grace piece. And one thing I wanted to throw out there, and I wanted to make it real clear and simple, is that We can claim, so we think we can, until he stopped playing. And then an example I want to give on that, I know as we think about God loves us, we're the lost sheep. And the sheep can wander all over the path and all over the garden. And then as he's about to wander into the wolf's den, that God will break the sheep's leg to preserve his sheep. right? So we can play this grace thing, and I can do all of the things I want to do, and I'll just use a worldly example. I can sex all over the place, you know, and I'm calling it grace. I'm calling it grace. But now God gives me testicular cancer, all right, and now that's out the window. So, again, his grace was sufficient, but I played it to the point where, okay, I kept on going, but now he broke it off. So, again, I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't want him to be the reason that you got to stop, right? So come in on your own is what I'm saying. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Some people get it. Some people might not. But that's where it's at. And then you talked about different realities that we have, and we don't have to debate and argue with people. I'm totally with you on that, sis. We don't have to debate. We just let our lives look like something, right? And let our lives be the talking for us, and we walk in Christ's path. So, again, God bless both you sisters. It was a beautiful message tonight, wonderful show, and I'm appreciative. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate you, my brother. I'm sorry I got so engaged in this discussion. I'm sorry that I did not see your hand up earlier, because I definitely would have brought you in. So I appreciate you always supporting, always, sharing what God has put on your heart. Thank you for that. A lot of times people want to share and people just don't have the they don't feel like what they have to say needs to be heard. And I'm going to tell you, sharing is caring. Being able to
Amen.
What God has put on your heart and be able to share. You never know with what you're getting ready to share if somebody is going through something and they need to hear it. You know, everybody's been assigned to a certain group of people. That's the truth. We all been assigned to, there are certain people that I'll never be able to touch. But then based on my life experiences, my pains, my sufferings, my joys, there's a group of people that I could touch that will hear, that they will, we'll be talking the same language. It won't be kichi-kichi. It will be clarity, because they'll understand when I speak, when I talk about my experiences, when I talk about things that I've been through and how God has brought me through, it'll resonate with them because he's prepared me for a certain group of people, like he's prepared you, Leah, like he's prepared you, Evangelist Leah, and Minister Q. He's prepared us for a certain group of people. So when we stay quiet, we're not on assignment. You know, when God says to speak and we say we can't, we're not on assignment. We're missing the mark, because disobedience is sin.
Yeah.
You know, it's sin. And we want to have these certain perceptions about what sin looks like, what it is. You know, we always want to see major stuff like, oh yeah, well, you know, they're homosexual. Oh yeah, well, they're fornicating, or they're adultery, or oh yeah, you know, when he killed somebody. And those are the big things. That's the obvious thing. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the bad attitudes. It's the bad dispositions. It's the disobedience. It's the rebellion. It's those things. It's those things that will cause us to spiral out of control. And most people that, even believers and Christians, most people who have fallen so away from God's grace, are falling so away from, because his grace is sufficient. But guess what? I think of grace, and I could be wrong, but in my vision and perception, grace is like an umbrella. Grace is an umbrella, and when I think of an umbrella, I think of umbrella protect. When we open up our umbrella, it's keeping us from getting wet. It's keeping us from the storm. And God's grace is like an umbrella. It keeps us from the storms of life. It keeps us covered. But guess what? It is an umbrella. And in order for that umbrella to work, we got to stay up under it. Because when we step outside of that umbrella, we are subjected to the weather, to the
element. Yes.
The element. Yes. So when we step from up under that umbrella, we are now subjected to cold, we're subjected to rain, ice, snow, whatever's going on. And God's grace is the same way. It's an umbrella. And as long as we stay up under that umbrella, we could be protected from some stuff. But when we get out of order and we step outside of that umbrella of grace, and how do we step outside of it? We walk out of it. Walking out of it, if God's grace is sufficient, that means God's grace is connected to God. So you got to be connected to God to be up under the umbrella. When you start doing your own thing, you're getting away from God's grace because remember, sin separates us. So sin is going to push you out of the covering. It's gonna push you from up under the umbrella. And it doesn't change God's grace because God's grace don't change. The sufficiency of his grace don't change. But we'll begin to experience some other things outside of God's grace because of our own actions or, you know, things we do. You know, it's almost like the prodigal son. When he was out there doing his thing and spending up all his inheritance and stuff, he was out of the grace of his father. You know, his father didn't move the umbrella. He moved away from the umbrella. And it wasn't until he came back that he was able to get back up under that umbrella and receive and experience the grace and the mercy that his father had. And it's the same thing with our father. Amen. But I know we've gotten close to the end of our show. Larry, do you have anything else you would like to say before we close out our audience as it pertains to grace? And we hope that this message tonight on grace and God's grace and the sufficiency and are we efficient? I want to make sure that we realize.
Yeah, I want to. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, man. I do.
I just want to give one more scripture, Hebrews 4:16, because it totally, I think, encompasses everything that this discussion has been about. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
That's an absolute good closure. Can you just read that one more time so that we could taste it and receive it?
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Awesome. Would you like to close us in prayer? Do you have a prayer that you want to close us in on tonight?
Yes. Father, I just thank you for giving us another opportunity to not only be in your presence, but to continually praise and worship your name. Father, we just thank you that every name that you have is a name that we can call on to get out of whatever it is we're under. We just thank you that we can call on the name of Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We just thank you that we can call on the name of Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We just thank you that we can call on the name of Jehovah Nisi, our victory. We just thank you, Father, that there have been ears to hear your word. They don't hear me. They don't hear Coach D. They don't hear eloquence. They're hearing the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Let the power of the Holy Spirit cut and make changes, Lord God. Let the power of the Holy Spirit use us. Use us, Father. Use us as a body of Christ, Father, to make change. Let us be an example, Father, of your grace, your goodness. Father, give us the three B's of boldness to speak your word, a burning, a desire to want to tell your word, and Father, a burden for the lost and those who are heading in the wrong direction. Father, we just thank you for this time together. I just thank you for my cousin, for her show. I just thank you for this opportunity that to be used by you in a mighty way. I just thank you that you just connect your super to our natural, Father, and you make things happen. healing, healing in the mind, healing in the body, you know, financial issues, marital issues, issues with wayward children. Father, we just take back and we just bind the enemy and send him and his demons back to the pit of hell in Jesus'
yes.
mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Woo, what a powerful prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my cousin, sister, friend, and my sister in the natural and the sister in Christ. Thank you for joining me on tonight. Oh, my God. See, sometimes we could be planning stuff. You know, we could be in the natural. We could be planning stuff and wanting to plan stuff and want things to go a certain way. And God could step in, and God could just do his thing. And I think tonight was just a God thing. You know,
Amen.
Really wasn't planned. It is a God thing. And I just pray that those who have made a choice to listen in or those who will listen in at a later time, I pray that there will be such an anointing on this broadcast that even people that listen in through the recorded link will just be that they will be touched, that they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they will
understand.
I tell you, I struggled with grace. Something you guys don't know about Coach D, transparent quick moment, what you guys don't know about Coach D is I have a desire to serve God so much. I have a desire to be in the will of God so much that when I'm not and when I'm missing the mark, when I'm shaking and unstable, I am so hard on myself. I beat myself up so bad. And so this message tonight on grace was needed. It was definitely needed because I believe that we're from the point where I believe I function, and again, this is my truth. There's nobody else's truth, and it may not even be the truth to God. But I believe from where I function, that this message was good for me because my desire, my heart's desire is to be pleasing to God. And one of the things that I was studying on tonight getting prepared for this show, I knew I was going to be guest hosting it with a guest, you know, with a guest host. But one of the things that came I was really excited about as I was studying for it, it had gave seven examples of God's grace in the Old Testament. And so one of the examples, and I know those who have to cut loose, I get it, but I want to just, one of the examples was God's grace infused Noah's story. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You got to know some details about Noah. First of all, the world was wicked and rampant and everything was crazy. But Noah was a drunk. I'm not going to call him a drunk. Noah liked to get drunk. You know, he had some issues going on there. And yet, God's grace, he found favor with God. And then the number two was God's grace endures in spite of Abraham and Sarah's unbelief. Sarai was named Sarah. Abram was named Abraham. They are the seeds. We are the seeds of them. You know what I'm saying? So Abraham and Sarah, he said that he would make them nations that so much they would have so many that. You know, you guys know where I'm going. But yet, they didn't even believe. Sarah didn't even believe she could get pregnant in her old age. Evidently, Abraham didn't believe it neither because he slept with Agar. But they were great. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number three, God's grace with Joseph gave him strength to preserve. You know, Joseph went through a whole, Joseph was arrogant. Let's call it what it is. He was arrogant and he was self-assured. And yet he went through a whole lot of stuff to humble him. You know, he was sold to slavery. He was thrown into jail. He was accused of rape. He went through so many things. And yet what God said in Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. Woo! How many of us around with the bad, that what the enemy meant for bad, God turned it around for our good?
Around for good, yes.
He turned it around for our good. No matter what you went through in childhood, no matter what you lacked, no matter what the deficiencies were, whatever it was that was not, that was meant for your harm, God turned it for your good, just like he did with Joseph. And number four, Moses doubted God at every turn, yet God graciously got him. Moses was the most insecure, low self-esteem, and yet he led a generation out of bondage, and another generation, even though he couldn't go into the promised land, he led another generation into the promised land. Why am I saying that? Because some of us have been drug addicts. Some of us have been prostitutes. Some of us have been liars. Some of us have been murderers. Even if it wasn't murder in the natural, we were murderers with our mouths. Some of us have lustful minds. We have done some stuff. We have been in the nitty-gritty of sin and iniquity. And yet, God is showing us step by step in his word with the character. The Bible is big. The Bible mentions hundreds and hundreds of people, and some of them that were called by name. But the ones that he chose to call by name all had a story. They all had a past. They all had some stuff. And why would he, God, do that? Why would his focus be on the broken down, the downtrodden, the bad addict? Why would his focus be on the prostitute? Why? Come on, think about it. Why? Because he's showing you how amazing his love and his grace and his mercy is. What he's showing us, that the power of God to transform any and everything. That's what he's showing us. Number five, the Israelites repeatedly rebelled against God, yet his graciousness rescued them.
Yes.
You know, they complained and they rebelled and they did this and they did that, and yet he made sure that they were fed and clothed. Not only that, they all had sandals walking around in the desert. Where? I mean, he was always providing. Number six, Rahab bravely asked God to save her in spite of her past sins, and he did. Rahab was the prostitute, the spy, and he did. It didn't matter that she was a prostitute. It didn't matter what, because God saved her. Seven, David lusted, stole, fornicated, lied, and killed, yet God saw his heart and loved him. Now, I'm reading these seven things because I want to give some of you hope that no matter where you're at and what you've done, that God loves you and his grace is sufficient. But you have to turn away. You got to have a repentant heart. True repentance always produces forgiveness. True repentance always produces forgiveness. And if you're not truly having a repentant heart, if you don't have a heart that's a heart of repentance, God knows that. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He knows our hearts. He knows those that's not really, don't have a repentant heart. He knows those of us that are struggling in some of our stuff. He knows these things. He knows all things. We belong to him. He created us.
Yeah.
So he knows. And so all he said a contrite heart, a repentant heart. And if you have a repentant heart, and see, you know, all what David did, he said David lusted, stole, fornicated, lied, killed, yet God saw his heart and loved him. They said David had a heart after God because David was a pure heart, but he had a repentant heart. He was true to his conviction. And when he did something that was out of order and it began to bother him and convict him, David repented. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to have a repentant heart. Amen. So anyway, we're not going to keep you any longer.
Amen.
Tune in on tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. We're going to continue to bring weekly dialogue to you that's relevant. We believe that this is a platform that God is using for us to be, according to Revelations 12 and 11, that we want to be, we want to overcome all that we're going through. We want to overcome him, the enemy, and all his attacks by the blood of the Lamb. First and foremost, we know we have to have Jesus. We know we can't do it without Jesus. That's the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony, we want to tell, hey, this is what the devil thought, but this is what God said. Hallelujah. So we want to get, make sure we're giving our testimony. And we don't want to be so ashamed and so caught up in ourselves that we're not willing to die to our flesh and die to ourselves. Many people say, well, I'm not going to share in person. I'm not going to share with a bunch of people. I'm not going to do these things. I'm not going to do this. But guess what? If God delivered you, it's not yours, no way. It's his testimony. And we have an obligation to share what God is doing for us, because somebody else is going through or getting ready to go through what you've been through, and it's through your word and your testimony that delivers them. So when we don't tell us, share our testimonies, and I'm talking about when we don't want to let other people know, we're just like the man who buried his talent. And we know what happened with him, amen? Amen. Well, thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know, let us stay on, know that you are truly loved and appreciated. We will be back here next Thursday and every Thursday to come, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.
Good night.